We could talk about the fight.
That's right. Thanks for stopping by.
Did you watch the fight?
I didn't watch the fight because
I watched the fight. I mean, so.
Well, I just found it. It's not really the fight to talk about, but the issue of if Mayweather is a child beater or female person beater. What is he? Beat his wife or girlfriend or something?
He did, and he is.
He spent time in jail for domestic violence. Yes.
Okay, so he's a hero and whatnot, but people want to make Greg Hardy and Adrian Peterson pay the ultimate price.
Well, first of all, Mayweather is no hero. He is a...
Aquaman's a hero, okay? He could talk to the fishes. Little Chris Rock for you.
Mayweather is not even a good fucking boxer. Anybody who watches boxing and... He's fast. He's incredibly fast and elusive, but he's not going to knock you out. He's a scared fighter. He boxes for points.
He can only hit women.
Right, right. You know, but seriously, if you watch his bouts, they're the most frustrating. If you're a boxing fan, they are the most frustrating fights you'll ever see. I mean, it's miserable. Because he doesn't sit there and engage, and I understand that it's his strategy, but it's so boring to watch. It really is. It is incredibly boring. I got the fight Saturday night, hoping to see a fight, and again I saw a dance.
You got to see the Burger King come out and Mayweather's entourage, and you got to see Jimmy Kimmel come out and Pacquiao's entourage.
Yeah, which I don't quite all understand. Boxing used to be such a great sport. It really was.
But I guess I still go back to everybody. Remember when the whole Adrian Peterson and all the abuse people, Greg Hardy, and their issues came out, and people were ready to hang him. Yet here you have a guy, and people are like, I'm going to pay $100 to watch pay-per-view.
Well, some of that is people hoping that Pacquiao kicked Mayweather's ass, you know.
Okay, well, that's okay. That makes sense.
And the second is, as usual, the NFL overblowing everything and believing for some reason Roger Goodell believes that he has to be the, you know, moral compass of society. Right. As far as Peterson goes and Hardy. Look, let the law handle the law, okay? And the NFL can handle the NFL. Roger Goodell doesn't need to do that. So...
There you go.
I'm just glad. I didn't really care about the fight. I mean, granted, I was out of town. I wasn't going to see it anyway, but just I had no desire to see it. I knew it wasn't going to live up to all the hype. And
right.
I mean, $100 for – I mean, the fact that these guys – like Mayweather's going to make like $190 million on this fight alone.
I think $100 million.
Okay. I thought it was more. But
no, because they –
Is that overblown?
Yeah. He showed the check, as is tradition with Mayweather. He showed the check to the TV camera.
Okay. Still, $100 million for that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Look, that's why everybody... Boxing is dead. Boxing is a dead sport right now, and it's been so for the last almost 20 years. Because, look, what carries boxing is heavyweights. And there just aren't any good heavyweights.
And UFC right. Kind of killed boxing, huh?
UFC definitely...
It didn't kill boxing, but it's...
It definitely didn't help.
It punched it in the face a few times.
Yeah,
and then kneed it in the face, and then round kicked it against.
Well, because you get
threw a few elbows.
I mean, you get a definitive result because somebody's going to get knocked the fuck out.
Well, you get a result, and you get a fight. I believe when we were talking about all this concussion rules BS, I know I told you all that also killed boxing 20 years ago. Goodness, 30 years
ago
now.
Yeah, look at Muhammad Ali.
I remember.
You know, I mean, it's the same thing. Look, people like violence. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, people want violence. And speaking of that, Jason, you just said you were on vacation. So how was Baltimore? And did you get anything good?
I got out of there alive.
Did you get anything in your looting? Did you pick up anything we should know about?
No. Didn't buy any souvenirs this trip for the first time in a long time. No souvenirs purchased.
No shot glasses?
No. I that was my one mistake. I didn't find a shot glass to plunder.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk tonight. The draft is over, and we're obviously going to discuss the Saints picks for a little while, or in a little while. They did finish last year with the highest average age of players, making them the oldest team in the NFL, but with the largest draft class in Saints history since 2002. Hopefully we can reduce our average age. Were the Saints picks the kind that will help now or later or both? Let's find out. Put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. Do you have a number?
I don't have a number currently. I am drinking a beer. Just got back from a softball game. This is the first beer of the night. I've got another one in the fridge that I'll crack open when I'm done with this one. So I might get up to one, but that's about it. I would have had a little higher number when we were supposed to record our little show the other night, but that did not come to pass.
Damon, welcome to the show. What's, you have a number?
No, I don't have a number.
All right. So let's get right into it and not talk about anything. let's talk for real. Let's talk about, we're not going to have a segment intro. This is just the mini show for the draft recap, and then maybe we'll mention.
But it is going to be a little larger than the meeting was originally planned, because originally we were going to record it after we had only had
a couple of
the first three rounds of picks, right?
Right. So fortunately we didn't, and we're now going to discuss the whole draft. So let's go first round, pick number 13, Andres Pete, offensive tackle from Stanford. What do you know about him?
Let me say something first. To all the mock drafters out there who had the 15th and the 30th mock draft and the brand new 50th mock fucking draft with trades and none of you people had Andres Pete.
None of you fucking idiots.
That's funnier. Look, none of y'all had us drafting Andres Pete at 13. No one! I will reiterate, if you do a mock draft, you have too much time on your hands. You should go do something productive, like join a gym, volunteer, go work with blind kids or lepers, okay? I mean,
they could see the draft coming better than you.
Right. I mean, this is just this just proves my point and my rant that mock drafts are the dumbest things I've ever. Well,
they even had somebody on ESPN radio this morning I overheard talking about, he's someone who does mock drafts, and if I'm just going to paraphrase, he pretty much said, like, it's ridiculous that I have to do mock drafts for my job. Because he even admitted, he said, I did like 5 mock drafts since the close of the season, and none of my drafts were even close to being accurate.
Well, on top of that, then you've got, you know, certain columns coming out after this draft is, oh, the way too early, 2016 first round.
No, 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 just be quiet. Just shut up.
Gonna explode.
Just shut up, okay? Just shut up. Shut up. Don't say it. I'm walking off the show right now like Robert Downey Jr., okay? Just stop it. Don't even shut up.
Is it really?
What?
Did that really happen?
Yeah, I saw one. I didn't click on it, obviously, but I saw a headline for that. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Okay. Don't even. Don't. Good.
Well, we're gonna do something even just a little bit better, but pretty bad, I guess. We're gonna talk about what we expect from these draft picks, which of course is just.
Well,
let's just say what we hope.
Well, at least another thing, like you're not gonna give it a grade because a grade at this point is way too fucking early.
Thank you, Jason. You hit my next point. Draft grades.
Who won the draft? Right.
Right. Post draft grades are like mock drafts. You know, which are like in a.
They're the mock drafts of grading systems.
Right. You don't know what's going on. I saw a couple of grades, you know, as I'm flipping through, you know, internet and stuff, and like CBS gave us the pick for, I don't know how to say his name.
Kikaha.
Okay, they gave us an A for that, an A minus. Walter Football gave the same pick.
Lottie freaking da.
Right, but they gave us a grade of a Matt Millen, which is worth an F. Charlie Casserly, the former GM, Super Bowl GM from the Washington Redskins, gave us an A on our draft, where Mel Kiper gave us a C, and Yahoo gave us a B. You know, so they're all
Yahoo.
Over.
Wow.
You know, they're just all over the place. Look, you want to do a grade on a draft, you come back 3 years later, and then you can give an accurate grade. After 3 years, you can say, okay, good, bad, da-da-da-da. But anyway, I mean,
we'll get into that later. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But anyway, so this just people, please no more mock drafts. Do
but
like I said, volunteer, go to a gym, learn a different language. There's so many things you can do with your life. Actually, work.
So getting back to the Pete pick, you know, a lot of people thought we would take a defensive player or a Devontae Parker, the receiver, was there. But look, the right side of our line, you know, Evans and Streif are both above 30 right now. And even though Streif supposedly in some systems grades out fairly well, I mean, we could see it with our eyes. Like, look, he's a solid right tackle, and that's about it. Nothing special. So to get a guy like this who he might have some issues, but for the most part seems to be very solid. It's a lot harder. I mean, you don't see nearly as many busts with linemen like this. So whether he sees the field this year, I mean, I don't know. I guess you could play him at guard. I mean, I don't know. He's, what, 6'5", I think?
I heard 6'7".
Well, I know Streif is 6'7". I was like, well, maybe Streif will move in. I mean, I don't know if you want a 6'7" guy in the middle with threes.
Yeah, 6'7", 316 right now.
Okay. So he's going to compete for a pick whether he sees the field this year or not. I don't know, but he will be able to come in at some point, and hopefully be a long-term tackle, a position we won't have to worry about for a while. Hopefully.
His dad was a lineman also for the.
Don't know.
He
St.
was
Louis
for somebody.
/Phoenix Cardinals, and then for the Raiders.
So I mean, he's out of Stanford. I think he was a 3-year starter at Stanford.
Yeah, look, you got to like Stanford. You got they're. I don't know if they're considered Ivy League, but they're definitely a. It's a school that has high academic standards for their players, for all students and players. So you're definitely hoping you're getting a smart player out of Stanford.
He ain't no dummy.
Right. And that always helps. Look, I think John Wayne said that, you know, life is hard. And it's even harder when you're stupid. So
I mean, I didn't anticipate them taking a lineman in the first round because I don't think, you know, Loomis and Peyton have done it, but we did point out that the line was an issue, and it's something that we knew was going to be addressed. So I'm good with it.
Look, going into the draft, quarterback was about the only position that you didn't need to address. Okay, and we did.
We did.
But really, come on. I mean, you know, Drew Brees, an elite quarterback, and we'll get into that a little later.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, I like the pick. I like the pick, like you said, you know, Jason, you point out in the text to me, how often did I bitch about Streif.
Yeah, I mean, even though he signed a deal before last year, I mean, obviously deals could he could be cut, you know, if Pete outplays him.
But we don't really, I mean, you needed that also. We just pure depth on the line. I mean, who do we have if one of our starters goes down?
Pete.
Right? That is it.
Yeah.
That I know of. Oh, Bryce Harris, is he still here?
Yeah, I think he is still here.
Okay. So, I mean, we needed that. We needed to get longevity.
I don't have any issue with it.
Absolutely. Great pick, I think, as Saints fans kind of came around to.
Let's hope we look back in 3 years and say, holy shit, that was a great.
Right. That if we can get another Pro Bowl.
Well, look, but you look. Right. That's but you look at our line now, you got Unger. I believe Pete will be a starter.
And then Armstead.
Right. Armstead. We all liked what he did last year.
Yeah.
You got Evans. Hey, look, with Pete, somebody's moving to guard, and Pete will be a starter.
You think he starts at tackle, or do you think he...
Or maybe he starts
at
guard.
Maybe he starts at guard,
Maybe he starts at guard. I don't know, but he will be a starter.
And then Jeff Boylito is our backup specialist.
Lelito.
Right. Now,
now,
there is a scenario that maybe we'll talk about a player that did not get drafted.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let's save that for...
Okay. Yeah, when we get to the undrafted class. Okay, so later on in the round, number 31 overall, Stephon Anthony, linebacker from Clemson.
6'3", 250, very athletic, very fast. Again, that's a position of need. We knew we needed some linebackers. It's an inside linebacker. Hopefully we have a little more success than linebackers that we've drafted in the past that had a lot of talent and couldn't do anything. Martez Wilson. Anybody remember C. Grant?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Haslett, the only Pro Bowl linebacker who couldn't draft a linebacker to save his life.
So this guy is intellect as well, is he not?
Well, I don't know about that, but he was the captain on a decent Clemson defense that produced some high draft picks.
Beasley.
Beasley, one of them. You're injecting youth at a position of need where your linebackers are Hawthorne, Ellerby, you know, on the inside, a couple of older guys. And I did see he's going to have number 50, Lofton's old number, so he didn't waste any time.
Well,
and having Ellerby there helps.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, and still even having Hawthorne there.
Pressure to come in and save the...
No, I mean, you have Ellerby and Hawthorne, and then, you know, Stephon's going to go in there.
That's about it.
Well, it's about it, but he'll go and compete, and he'll have every chance to earn that job. I'll be interested to see if he can play well enough to start from day one, or if they just kind of... I mean, I'm sure they're going to rotate in a lot of guys, but it'd be nice, boy, if we can get a middle linebacker and have him come in right away.
Is he also a guy that he can get to the quarterback too?
No, not really. No, he's. I looked at his numbers. I don't have them in front of me right now, but yeah, he was. He's not your quarterback pressure specialist. He's your middle linebacker.
Okay.
Right. He's not asked to rush the pass.
Right. That's going
right.
to be
okay.
Tackling machine.
Right. Play the middle of the field. Help with the run. Quarterback of the defense. Yeah.
That might help Kenny Vaccaro also, having a little more.
It'll help everybody.
Right. Well,
not just Vaccaro. I mean, everybody.
But you know what I mean. Like, it'll hopefully bring Vaccaro back to be the machine he was in his first year.
Well, that was the one thing that this defense lacked last year was tackling.
Yeah. Which is mind-blowing, considering that they were a pretty good tackling team in 2013.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty mind-boggling.
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
Last year, Anthony, he started all 13 games. He had 131 tackles, only 4 sacks. Again, so he's not going to be...
Right, he's not going to be asked to...
Right.
Can he catch the ball?
One interception.
Junior year. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
We didn't draft him for his intercepting skills.
No. But if he does, it'll be nice. I mean,
right. It's a bonus.
I'll take it.
Lanyard.
You know, and you look at that position. Middle linebacker is so important on every team. We really haven't been the same on not that we were ever, you know, the Dome Patrol recently, but since Vilma went down. Vilma was a hell of a middle linebacker, man.
how long does it take? Let's say this guy, everything comes out great, and how long does it take Anthony before he becomes the quarterback of the defense? 3 years?
Shit, if he's great from day one, it could even be two. I mean, it could even be two. I mean, who else is going to?
I don't know.
I mean, your middle linebacker normally is the guy who controls a lot of the calls. I mean, maybe you might have a safety, but it's either him or a linebacker. Mm-hmm. So, probably not his rookie year, but
right.
Hey, if he plays well enough, you know, he'll earn it.
Okay. So, I mean, he could have that big of an impact just 2 years in.
Let's hope so.
All right. So now we go to round two, 44th pick overall, and it's Hakeem Olajuwon or Hakuna Matata.
Come on, you want to lay me?
HK. HK, that's what I'm going to be calling him.
There's an apostrophe out there.
Yeah. All right, so he's linebacker from Washington.
Washington led the nation in sacks last year.
Nah.
19 sacks.
Now, here's the guy, Jeff.
There's your
boy.
Sack machine. That's
there's
no
your
right.
sack machine.
Right.
So he's an outside linebacker.
Right.
Oh, and here's I got the phonetic pronunciation. Haole Kikaha. Haole Kikaha.
His name might be good enough to get Damon out of Jersey buying retirement and get that jersey.
Oh, man. You know what? If he gets 16 sacks, I will buy his jersey, okay?
In any year.
Doesn't have to be a rookie year.
Okay.
I'll buy his jersey.
Yeah.
I just, you know, when we drafted him, I'm sure a lot of us thought this. I just wish Buddy D was still with us.
Yeah.
I think Bobby probably messed up his name just as good.
So, 19 sacks this past year, 13 sacks the year prior. So a lot of production on the field. And it's something you kind of saw with the Saints in this draft. You look at, you know, last year the past few years, drafting on potential, you know, drafting. You know, Armstead didn't play right away. Potential. Jean-Baptiste, I don't know what kind of potential they saw. We're still waiting for it. But this year, drafting guys that have actually produced on the field in college. So going for, you know, like, I mean, we can't wait around. You got Breeze for another 3 years at least at a high level. You can't wait around for a project at this point. You know, you want to win a Super Bowl with him, get production, and get it on the field as soon as you can.
And
so you could take advantage of cheap labor.
And you say his number of sacks, how many sacks last year? 16. He's also the 19. Husky 19. He's also the Huskies' all-time leader with 36 career takedowns, 206 tackles, 51.5 tackles for a loss.
Now he did have, I believe, he
had
two
forced fumbles. Wow.
Two ACL surgeries, maybe coming out of high school or first year in college. But apparently he's recovered.
Yeah, young kids recover easier.
Yeah, right.
And he joins Max Unger as the second Hawaii native on our team, so they can be roommates.
Oh, you know, I like that, and they said something on one of the draft programs I was watching. Oh, no, actually, Hokie said it, talking about he's Samoan, right?
It says I wanted to have his Polynesian heritage.
Okay, well,
I don't know enough.
Yeah, neither do I about, you know, but they're island folk. And Hokie was always saying that, you know, that those are some of the toughest SOBs around, you know,
okay.
and that play football. And he named, a bunch of Samoans who, look, we all, I mean.
The Rock.
The Rock.
He's got a little Samoan in him. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of Samoan wrestlers.
That's what she said.
mm-hmm. All right, so that's him. All right, so then our 75th pick overall, and this is the one, Garrett Grayson from Colorado State, quarterback who I was talking about on last week's show, never meant to suggest that he would go in the first round to us, but based on what I had read then and then more, what we've learned since we've picked him, I really do like this pick, and if it works out, obviously, could be a steal.
Well, quarterbacks, you never know. Half of them bust. Look, I'll be honest. I didn't expect us to take a quarterback yet because I still think Breeze has a good at least three years left. And I think Mickey and Sean still think that. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, with all these picks that we had, it gives you the opportunity to use a pick on a guy and not get stuck with, you know, the McCown-Griffin combo as backup. God forbid anything happens to Breeze, you're stuck with that poo-poo platter. And,
you know, what are you kidding me, Jason? Garrett Grayson's going to be our next quarterback. Woo! Garrett Grayson. I'm going to go buy me a jersey tomorrow. He's the heir apparent. He's going to be like Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Joe Montana, wrapped into one. Going to Michael Vick. This guy is awesome. Go, Garrett, go. Yes, yes, yes. Super Bowl.
That's not what I'm suggesting. I hope you're talking about the legions of fans you've been listening to on WWL.
A little bit.
What I do like about him is I did see they were talking about when he interviewed with the Saints and whatnot. He told them one of the things they liked about him was that he said, I don't mind. And of course he's going to say this. He has to take in the Aaron Rodgers route where you apprentice under one of the best. And when you get your chance, if it happens, then hopefully you've learned enough. I mean, the scary part about the guy is not he's got the cerebral parts, but some of his athletic ability, like when he came out and tried out for us, he had a few bad.
Well, I mean, he's not the best athlete in the world, but the good news is, look, you got him now, so that way they have 2 or 3 years to develop him and see if they think that he can turn into something. You know, it gives them some time to see if that's the case, or if in a couple of years they have to go elsewhere. Because if you look, I mean, look, New England drafted Ryan Mallett a few years ago, thinking, oh, well, is this the end of Tom Brady? No, traded him away. Then they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo last year, and all Tom Brady did was go out and win the Super Bowl. So,
then maybe that's what we're doing.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
We had enough picks to play with. I'm okay with, even though I didn't expect it, you know, thinking more about it, I'm okay with taking him here and having him sit and having him develop, because if something does happen to Breeze, we're going to be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say Grayson will come in and light the world on fire, but...
No, but I like the idea of a smart guy. He doesn't have to be the greatest athlete right now, because Peyton can work with him on things
But he's still got to be good. I mean, he could be as smart as he wants.
Sure,
he still has to be able to make the throws.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the Saints would grab him if they didn't think he could make the throws. It's a project for Peyton.
Right. And it is kind of funny, though, all the rumors leaking out before the draft of that we liked Bryce Petty, the guy, kid from Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, we're going to go the other way.
Well, that's who I was reading about before. It was him and Garrett Grayson. Bryce Petty and Garrett Grayson. But, all right, if you want to say, does he have the skins on the wall, right? Last year, he completed 64.3% of his passes, 32 touchdowns, 4,006 yards, seven interceptions.
I mean, it's in the Mountain West, so competition's not quite the best, but... I mean, still, look, the kid can make throws.
Well, you completed 64% of your passes. The guy's got to catch them at the same, you know. So, that's good.
I mean, I guess it might sound like a broken record being okay with a lot of these picks. Again, in a few years, we'll see how they all pan out. But I did like the positions that they addressed, I guess, other than
We're on Grayson, and like we've just been saying the last 5 minutes, he's not going to usurp Drew Brees. He's not going to do it. Hopefully they do see something there that he does catch on, but man, he's not going to be Aaron Rodgers. At least, I mean, the chances are pretty slim, in my opinion, you know?
How tall is he?
6'2", I believe.
So he will be able to see over the...
over the line, right. He didn't have to look...
it's only 2 inches taller than Drew Brees.
Well, not really. Drew Brees, that's 6 foot. He's more like 5'11". If you remember...
With cleats?
Yeah, if you remember, Drew Brees had to measure him twice when he went to the combine 15 years ago. Yeah, I'm not 6 foot. I'm 5'10", and the man's not towering over me by 2 inches. So, but anyway, like Jason said, I like the pick. Come on, I'm a Saints fan, man. I'm hoping this is Sean Payton's quarterback radar going off that he sees something. Remember, Payton was the reason Dallas drafted Tony Romo. Not drafted, I'm sorry. Signed him.
Signed.
Romo was an undrafted free agent. So hopefully Sean Payton hits on this one again, you know?
And the upside is if he does pan out, then when you do move on from Breeze, you don't have the drop-off. I mean, look, realistically, how many teams have actually been able to replace a Hall of Fame quarterback and remain successful? Very few.
Right. Montana.
To Young.
Peyton Manning to Luck with the year gap.
Right.
And then Favre to Rodgers.
Right. And then maybe you might throw in there Bledsoe to Brady.
You
know,
yeah.
Bledsoe was a very, very good quarterback. I don't know if I'd put him up with Favre, Montana.
Right. I mean, hell, Miami and Buffalo were still trying to find replacements for Marino and Kelly.
Right, and the thing is, and you're not going to, because Dan Marino, like Drew Brees, is one of the greatest in the top 10. Especially if you're just counting quarterbacks. Dan Marino is one of the top 10. Jim Kelly was also. And so is Drew Brees. So, right, if you're expecting that kind of...
I don't want to think about that.
Right. But that's in the future.
Yeah, winter is coming. So, then for the 78th pick that we got from Miami, since our last defensive back from Florida State didn't pan out, we're going to go back to the well, see if this one can. We get P.J. Williams from Florida State. What do you know about this guy?
Why is he
better than Patrick Robinson?
Well, his second-round talent, but he dropped because he had a DUI issue, which the charges were dropped after the fact, but much more talented than where he got picked. The Saints, for the most part, didn't draft any character question guys. I mean, I think this is the one guy that they picked that had any kind of issue.
You're a DUI, I mean, come on.
Right. I'm not saying it's serious, but it is a little something. But other teams stayed away, but, you know, the 6-foot cornerback, you know, we drafted another one later, but, I mean, look, secondary was obviously an issue with the team, too, so I like all the positions we picked because we needed help. And look, this kid has played in big games, played a national title game 2 years ago, played in the national semifinals this past year.
Yeah.
He's got big game experience.
And he was a defensive MVP in the 2013 BCS championship, isn't he?
I don't know. Maybe. You got it in front of you, I guess. I was out of town last week. I didn't do any research.
Well, if what I'm reading is correct, according to my sources.
Oh, God.
So, all right.
What does this pick tell you about...
Jean-Baptiste?
Yes.
Ugh. Well, especially when you combine it with the...
He played in two games last year on special teams.
Well, especially when you combine it with the pick we'll talk about later, the other cornerback. Yeah, I mean, you have two cornerbacks this year. I mean, I know they said this kid was a project, but, man, you sign Browner, you bring in these two guys, and you sign Kyle Wilson. I mean, whoo! Stanley Jean-Baptiste. Maybe I'm staring in the face of a gigantic...
Gary Grayson guy. Might have the skins on the wall, but Jean-Baptiste got the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I mean, after being such a high pick, second round last year.
Huge, huge swing and a miss if that's the case.
Right.
Well, yeah. We'll see. So then we'll jump ahead. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time on the rest of these guys, but we'll talk about what we can. Pick number 148, linebacker Davis Tull from Tennessee Chattanooga.
A small school guy.
Here's your obligatory small school pick.
As is, of course, the tradition.
Some of the reports out of it or of him are that high motor really put up good production. Again, it's a small school. I don't know, competition, not quite what some of these other guys have faced. But, I mean, I don't know. I can't say I ever watched this dude play one down of football.
No.
I've not watched any game film.
We're talking about Tull, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about Tull.
Yeah, would you...
I just listen to some of the announcers this weekend. Mike Dettillier said he really liked this guy. And there was another talking head on TV who said that this was a real good... Very, very good value pick. So, you know, but again, more so with a rusher. I mean, a pass rusher.
Good.
Is what they were saying.
Okay.
Well, and again, we talk about the Saints have a knack for getting value out of these small schools and or undrafted players and such. If you're going to take somebody, you take the best. I mean, this guy, I'm reading his stats here. I mean, he had a 4.0 GPA. And we talk about, intelligent guys. That helps on the field.
But was it a 4.0 in golf and tennis?
Whatever. It's still better than most football players who take golf and tennis. he was the SoCon Defensive Player of the Year in 2012. He set a single-season UTC sack record. 12.5, was fourth in the nation with 19 tackles for a loss. So, I mean, if you're going to take from a small school, you take the best. And that's what it looks like they might have done.
Another guy with production on the field.
Yeah, he could be a sleeper.
Yeah, and at least play special teams right away.
Mm-hmm. And that could be what they picked him for. All right, so moving on. Pick number 154, the guy from Kansas City, defensive tackle Tylette Davison from Fresno State. The last guy I remember us taking from Fresno State was Lorenzo Neal. I'm sure we took somebody from there before, but he's just who I remember.
It's your boy.
I met him.
Oh, he really is your boy.
Yeah. That didn't pan out. So.
Well, he panned out, just not with us.
Right. My boys rarely do.
Right. Good. It was good because I was hoping we were going to address the defensive line and get another body in there. So I thought I saw maybe 6'2", 300 pounds, big interior lineman. So I mean, I don't know that you need a starter right away. And obviously a fifth-round guy isn't going to be a starter right away. But, bring in another body.
His nickname is Rhino.
Yeah, I'm sure whatever school, he was in, that nickname fit. But this is the NFL.
Now he's just baby Rhino.
Right.
When you look at him next to John Jenkins.
Well, let's see what he can do. Pick number 167, cornerback Damian Swan from
Georgia.
This is one we
made a trade, correct?
Yeah, we got it from Washington via Seattle.
Traded a sixth round this year and next year, I think. The only trade that we made, that's another thing. I'm very glad that we did not trade up earlier in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Because we really needed as many picks as possible, especially in the first few rounds. And that was one thing that when they interviewed Peyton and Loomis, they credited Jeff Ireland for, was just telling them, hey, settle down, guys.
Oh, because they wanted to...
Right, because they saw spots where they kind of wanted to move up and get a guy. And
in Ireland, said, that was the one, like, calm
they
down.
They said he was a calming influence. He said, no, not just yet. So Peyton and Loomis are apparently like the excited teenager getting ready to have sex. They're just so ready. But no, you got to simmer for a bit.
They're like King Tamman, what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
With Marjorie?
Yeah, he's ready to go. Did I hurt you? Jesus, kids. Another defensive back, adding another guy in the secondary.
Is this where you wanted to talk a little bit more about the secondary?
Fact that, again, with Jean-Baptiste, because now you added two cornerbacks. Good size. I don't know why he only dropped to the sixth round, played at Georgia. So he did play against a good competition. I'm sure he was highly recruited. So why he wasn't drafted higher, I don't know. But, just another guy to toss back there. So, I mean, at this point, accumulate as many defensive backs and hope you can get three to stick. I mean, you got to find somebody out to help Keenan and at least now Brown are back there.
Well, they're all already better than Corey White and Patrick Robinson, so.
It doesn't take much.
Right.
John Price is better than those two.
Yeah. And our last pick of the draft was running back Marcus Murphy from Missouri.
Now, this is the pick that, from reading some of the stats on him, kind of wondering why he wasn't drafted until the seventh round.
Really?
I mean, he didn't get a ton of carries, but he was very productive. He had 7 return touchdowns in his career at Missouri. This is the kind of scat back that Damon has talked about that Peyton likes to have.
But I truly, looking at his stats and everything that people were saying about him, this guy, he's going to make the roster and he's going to be our return man. That's where he excels. That's what he's going to do. You can pretty much bank on it.
Okay. And I know that I was reading, when he was coming to the Combine doing interviews, people said you should watch film on Darren Sproles and kind of model your game a little after him.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously we know we could sure as hell use a return man. I know Jalen yeah. Saunders had a couple good games at the end of the year, but, I mean, you can't bank on that.
Right.
So, yeah, I was very excited about this kid reading about him because we definitely need help in the return game, for sure.
All right, and so just a few, one of the comment from the message board mayhem here.
Oh, geez.
Is somebody did say that I still think they're going to miss Pierre Thomas. If he doesn't get picked up, they should sign him for at least 1 year deal and let him retire black and gold.
Well, yeah, sure, but he's not going to play. We'll sign him for a day. Right, for a 1 day deal and let him retire. Sure.
Yeah, I would imagine Absolutely. They would do no matter what. Even.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure they would.
Yeah. Okay, so then we had the undrafted class that was announced today, right? Or earlier.
Yeah, over the last day and a half. But I guess
to talk about. I thought Leo Collins would have been.
Well, but he's not. He still wants to clear his name before becoming available. Now, word came out today that he met with Rex Ryan today in Baton Rouge, and he's got a meeting plan with the Dolphins, and he said basically every NFL team has contacted him.
Well, I would imagine.
Well, so, and here's the thing with that. Okay, now we're talking about Collins. All right. What happened, which is just incredible.
It is absolutely insane.
Unprecedented. Friday, he was a first-round pick. Or Wednesday, he was a first-round pick. And Thursday he was an undrafted free agent. You know, right. I mean, but here's the thing: it doesn't matter who meets with him. Okay, so undrafted free agents who sign get the standard 3-year contract. Okay, no matter who signs them, no one can exceed this, and you can't get less than this. All right, his contract would be $434,215. $525,216, $615,217. Okay, if he makes the roster. Now, the benefit is an undrafted free agent, he can renegotiate after 2 seasons. Where if you're drafted, you can't.
Right. You have to. You get at least
so,
4.
But it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to get the same money. So he can essentially pick where he wants
to
go.
He can pick what's going to be best for him.
Right. Whoever has an open starting lineman spot where he can go in, play right away, play well, and hopefully recoup a lot of the money that he lost.
What team is missing a guard?
I mean, you can earn one here.
Right. He's from Louisiana. He played at LSU. I mean, I'm hoping.
Dude, if we score that.
I don't see him coming here. I would love to get him. Well, look, a lot of Saints fans are dying for us to sign him.
Sure, but again, it's up to him. There's nothing we can – I don't know how we can offer him anything or anybody can offer him anything better than, you know.
No, I mean, the money's all going to be the same.
Right.
Money's all going to be the same.
The only thing is if they tell him, well, we'll make you a tackle. Tackles do make more than guards, at that very, very super top level.
Yeah.
But we really respect our guards and pay them tackle money. You know, yeah. we did with –
Evans.
And we offered it to Knicks.
And we gave Grubbs a lot of money when we signed him. So, yeah, I mean, as much as I'd love it, I just don't. Something tells me he's going to end up elsewhere. But it is amazing. I mean, he went from earning anywhere from $15 to $20 million over his first 4 years to now $1.5 million.
And is it really just a he's not. Is he a person of interest? Is he just questioned?
No, I mean, he interviewed with the police today, and they said his lawyer said he answered all the questions, and the police said he's not a suspect.
Oh, great timing, Baton Rouge police. Couldn't wait till this week, could you?
Well, if we get him, you know,
it might be
a conspiracy there.
Right. It is just pretty amazing. I mean, absolutely stunning.
Yeah. All right. So our 2015 undrafted free agents, they did announce the guys they signed for that. We did release Marcus Ball and Ty Zimmerman.
And Kyle Knox.
Kyle Knox. Yep.
Yeah, we had to clear some space. I don't think...
Nobody really potables, obviously, but...
No, I mean, we since we didn't draft a receiver, we did bring in a couple of receivers undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were kind of worried that we didn't take a receiver, and I guess that shows that apparently Peyton has a lot of faith in Toon and Sean Tavius Jones and Brandon Coleman. We did bring in
four defensive linemen.
Did bring in a lot of beef on the line, which we kind of needed, and we've shown that. I mean, we found Tyron Walker and Tom Johnson. We found other undrafted guys on the defensive line, so hopefully we find another one.
And didn't Mississippi State have a good defense last year? They beat LSU, right?
I think their defense was decent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they had a lineman from Mississippi State's defense. I think that's, you know, I'm obviously trying to read into this as much as I can.
You know, normally a couple of these guys at least will make the team.
Another tackle.
Although I don't know, with so many draft picks this year, maybe not.
All right.
We need room for all the draft picks.
We're just trying to lower the average age of the team.
But
Harold Spears, tight end from New Hampshire.
Another big takeaway from the draft was that of the 9 picks, 6 were on defense, and we knew we needed to draft a defense. And I'm glad that we did.
Well, you bring something up, and we brought 2 wide receivers in on undrafted free agents. But I think it surprised a lot of people that we didn't draft a wide receiver.
Especially when this draft was supposedly had a lot of depth at wide receiver.
Right. Now, listen to Coach Payton's comments after the draft. You know, he gave a press conference. And listening to it, he seemed very high on Nick Toon. His quote, he said he feels confident in the receiving group. And he said that the Stills trade wouldn't have happened if he didn't feel so confident.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Well, Sean, I hope you're right. I hope you are right.
Yeah. You said that if he didn't feel so confident in him.
Right. Yeah, we wouldn't have got rid of Stills.
Right. So that's his opinion.
Yeah.
He might be saying what he needs to say to continue to motivate. But you know what's going to tell? His play on the field.
Yeah, well, this is we thought last year would be his put up or shut up year. Apparently this is going
to
be.
Goodness, it has to be.
Yeah, I mean this is year 4 for Toon?
13, no, 14. He was drafted. 13. No, he was 12, wasn't he? That was the Bounty Gate year.
Yeah, I mean I thought so, right?
Right, so he was on the field in 12, on the 13, 14. This will be a 4th year.
He didn't play at all in 12.
No.
Maybe he barely played 13.
Right. And he barely played in 14.
Wow.
So
yeah.
Look, sometimes it takes people a little while to grasp the NFL. And also remember, he wasn't, even though he was our first pick of the 2012 season, he was a third rounder.
Third rounder, yeah. Yeah.
Who was the LSU receiver that
Hold on. I think Toon was a fourth rounder. I thought our first pick that year was Akeem Hicks.
Maybe. I think you're right. I think you're right. Hicks was a right.
Toon was a fourth rounder.
All right, so a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What do you expect, Jerry Rice?
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, 4th round, 2012. Confirmed.
Right. Haven't killed that brain cell yet.
Working on it. All right, y'all had anything else?
Not about the draft, unless you want to just discuss any bits of the overall. It was interesting, you know, the Saints going, other than the P.J. Williams pick, and that's a minor thing, but more for character guys, because Randy Gregory was sitting there even in round 2, and we passed on him, even though pass rush was kind of an area of need. Although rumors did leak out that he was late to like 3 different meetings with 3 different NFL teams before the draft. So he may have other issues than just smoking a little weed. But where does he end up? Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, did you see Jason Garrett's explanation of that?
No.
Basically, he said that, you know, they feel they have the right organization to help guys like that. And oh, fuck you and fuck Dallas.
Oh, didn't they get screwed, like, royally on something?
Well, Greg Hardy, they signed, and then he got suspended for 10 games.
He's not going to see 10 game suspension. That's going to be cut down to 4.
Because of Jerry?
Yes, I believe they're going to see 10 games.
Well, screw Dallas.
Be interesting. No LSU guys in the first round with Collins' this whole issue. I mean, Jalen Collins, I think, was the first guy, and he was taken by the Falcons.
Yeah.
So, fuck him now.
Yeah. There you go. Way to shit on your own career. Going with those losers.
Fuck him. And then, you know, the Falcons did take Beasley on round 1. I know that's a lot of guy that Saints fans were kind of high on.
Glad we didn't get him. That's a reach. Fuck him. Fuck him and fuck Atlanta.
We would have got him. He'd have been the greatest.
Right, well, we could have coached him up.
I love Vic Beasley. I'm getting a Vic Beasley jersey.
Now I'm getting one that I can piss on.
All right, but
Oh, you know, you had that trivia crack question, Damon. What was the question? You were playing trivia crack about which of these teams?
It asked which team had never won a Super Bowl. And it was the Bears, the Falcons, you know, the Bears, the Falcons, the Bucks, and St. Louis.
So that's funny.
Oh, another draft thing. I mean, as is tradition, Goodell gets booed for every, you know, when he comes out for every pick.
Well, I mean, can we talk about that for a little second? I don't know. Again, I don't y'all didn't watch the draft.
I watched it, but I was at a restaurant / bar, so I couldn't really hear.
Right. But anyway, so they did something new this year in the draft.
Chicago.
They moved the draft from New York for the first time since 1965 into Chicago. And, you know, it was a media extravaganza where they had just the fans inside of a auditorium and the stage the players could walk across. But the NFL teams and their tables that we're used to looking at were outside in this tent. I don't know. It was a little different. I mean,
what if it would have rained?
Well, that's why they had a tent.
That's why it was covered.
Well, did they have walls?
But it was more like a giant, not like a pop-up tent.
No,
like
no,
a
oh, God,
like,
no.
Like a long giant tent, almost like an airplane hangar
Correct.
Type shape.
Oh, okay.
Correct. Yeah, they were protected from the weather.
Yeah.
And that's just because Chicago didn't have something big enough for them to be in.
Well, it's pretty hard to compete with
New York.
Right.
Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah, no one does. We don't.
But we could put them all in the Superdome and the arena.
Well, you know, Chicago could have put them all in Soldier Field.
Yeah, but they don't have a roof.
Well, no.
Could have put it in the United Center basketball arena. Although, I mean, I guess you still had playoff games.
So. Right. Anyway, it was different.
We didn't have that problem.
It was kind of nice. I mean, I don't know. It's just, again, all of this hoopla that we make for 200 and I don't, I'm maybe throwing this number, 235 people who you're lucky if 50 will be in the league in 5 years.
It just continues to prove that it's not about those guys. It's the production. It's the,
right.
As a
all about
fan,
the TV element.
It's a new hope. It's episode 4. Speaking of, we are recording this on May the Force Be With You Day. Did you guys know that today is Star Wars Day?
Yes. May the Force be with you. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. But I heard an interview with, I don't know who it was, but somebody from the Saints organization on WWL last week. And I think it might have even been Mickey Loomis, where he was saying, like, of course they're going to put their hats in the ring to try to host the draft sometime in the future.
Well, sure. I mean, because there would be so many people here. I mean, once again, New Orleans was the highest rated market, local market, in terms of TV ratings for the draft. I think it happens every year. I mean, we love our football here. So of course, you would have a ton of people at the event down here.
Well, but it would have been a bad weekend, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, so many people at Jazz Fest.
Right, you have Jazz Fest pulling from it. You know?
But, I mean, you're always going to have Jazz Fest. I mean, if it's always going to be around this weekend, you're always
going
to have Jazz
Fest. Could you imagine if all those motherfuckers came down here for the draft and they had Jazz Fest to go to?
I mean, it'd be like a Super Bowl as far as visitors.
It'd be pandemonium, in a good way, yes.
But I think now some of the stuff they
we can handle it. We handle Mardi Gras, okay? You don't even get that many for Jazz Fest, so.
But now some of this stuff they had for the draft, I mean, did they build anything that's kind of permanent?
No.
Okay, so it's okay. Because I wonder, like, if the NFL invested enough money in it, are they going to keep it in Chicago for a couple of years and then maybe move it somewhere else?
Well,
it doesn't sound like that.
From when they announced it last year, I mean, the plan was to move it around like the Super Bowl.
Mm. Maybe they would say they'd give the northern teams the draft and the southern teams the Super Bowl.
That's the way it should be. That's a fine sacrifice I'm willing to make.
I know, right?
I mean, considering the boos that he would get here, do you think he would be?
Yeah, he got booed everywhere.
I mean, I know he got booed everywhere, but I think the boos would be even worse here. But do you think he'd be he put himself out there for that, you know. I mean, I don't. Who's is it? The owner's decision for this, or is it his decision?
No, the owner's. Nothing's ever his fucking decision. His decision is when the owners get together and say, "Okay, let's do this." Make Roger go say it, and if he gets flashback, fuck him. That's okay.
Well, the, now here's.
But he, no, actually, his decisions are the bad decisions in terms of suspensions and
yeah,
and decisions that are terrible.
Any decision he makes is a bad one. So. They did announce that the NFL was going to change from being a non-profit organization to a private.
Yeah, that right.
All that means is that he doesn't have to disclose how much he was paid. These owners will still find ways to shield their money.
Well, hold. Two things: the NFL, the main office, didn't pay taxes. All 32 teams paid taxes. Okay. So it's not like the NFL wasn't paying billions of dollars in taxes. They were. The NFL head office just considered itself, it was tax-free because it's not a holding company. But its job is just to collect all the money and distribute
and then
it
disperse
to,
it, right.
Right. That's all they do. They don't
almost kind of like a tax collector.
Correct. That's all they do. I read something where the taxes for the NFL now that they're doing this, it's going to be like $12 million, which is a drop in the bucket, you know, for a $9 billion thing. $12 million, they don't even notice that. I wish they would unnotice it my way. I mean, but,
right.
You know, but, yeah, so it's a total PR move. The NBA's already done it. I think NHL's already done it, MLB, you know. It was just something that, so politicians can't stand up there and say, the NFL is tax-free. No, I'm just a lowly senator. But I do declare that
From Georgia,
yes, sir. I do declare that they ain't paying their taxes. Shut the fuck up. You don't,
God damn it, my Falcons suck.
All right. And they're going to be playing in a big asshole next year. What's that about? Why does our stadium look like a toilet? And our team, our team looks like shit? I say,
boy.
We
need a place for our quarterback to shit instead of his pants.
Speaking of the toilet bowl, the Falcons have hit their borrowing limit.
Excellent.
Because the stadium.
Yeah, the price of the stadium has climbed up above their estimates.
Right. It was supposed to be $1 billion. Then it went to $1.2 billion. Then $1.4 billion. And most recently, it now stands at $1.5 billion. Fuck them.
Is it possible that it could not be finished?
No. They're too far along now. No.
How awesome would it be? If they just had this, like, half-constructed monstrosity asshole just sitting in their city for the next 15 years.
Yeah, but anyway, I just, like, you know, I'm glad it's going up. And those fans, I can't wait till they announce the PSLs. But their fans are going to piss themselves.
They would buy tickets to start with.
Yeah, this is true.
Why would they pay for the right to buy a ticket? They don't even buy them right now.
Is why they won't.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be. They're talking about your great decision making as far as the team goes.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah. Okay, so the main tweet that we got, if you want to answer them.
I thought we got a couple from Nier. I know they were draft related.
Yeah. Well, alright, so that's what I was going to say. Okay, so if we do a look at him tweets, it would come from Nier. And his question is really, what's your takes on getting a QB in the third round? I think we covered that one.
Yeah.
And then we traded up really late in the draft. How awesome is it that we didn't trade up in the first 2 days? And
spectacularly awesome.
Yeah.
Spectacularly.
Considering what you got, you know, I don't know that, right. Would
would you really have gotten anything better if you would have sacrificed picks? No, right?
You know, because you know, let's say we trade a third and a something to move up. You know, yeah, you get a player, but then, you know, either you don't draft a quarterback or you don't get P.J. Williams. Now, you might replace him with another player. Or if you package, you know, multiple picks to move up and take a guy.
Yeah, we got more value.
You kind of miss out. So I do like, I like throwing more bodies in there because, like you said, this is an older team. We need to inject a lot of youth. And one way of doing that is bring in as many, you know, like the biggest draft class in a long time. Mm-hmm. Now, look, there's a good chance that you're still going to see one or two of these guys not make the team.
Oh, probably more than that. Well, or not make the team there, and then you'll also have another two or three guys who don't pan out, you know, as the year two or even 3 years.
Jean-Baptiste, right? Right. We could just cut him.
That's all part of the equation.
Yeah.
But because we got so many, the likelihood of more hits.
Right. It just gives us a better chance.
Right.
More odds.
All right. Final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I'll be excited for when minicamp rolls around, and then pretty soon. I know we got some time in between. I think minicamp is usually the end of May, and then training camp will be, was it end of June or end of July? Usually.
I think it's mid-July, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe mid-July.
Because it goes into preseason.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I mean it's. You know, more than halfway through the off season.
There you go. Oh,
hell yeah.
Damon, final thoughts? We're on final thoughts.
Look, I had not turned on NFL Network and had only watched ESPN a handful of times since the Super Bowl. I was ready for some NFL news to get the gears cranking again. The draft fulfilled that. And I will have a couple of weeks here. Actually, this month, with mini camps and stuff, and we'll get some news in the papers, real news, and they'll take off June, and then once into July, we have the season. So I'm excited. I'm ready.
We're launching. At this point, we have entertainment now all the way through February because summer blockbuster movies carry us into all the way to training camp, and training camp carries us to the preseason, regular season, playoffs, Super Bowl. We're good to go, folks. We have something going on, and you got good TV. So are you not entertained? I hope you are. And that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol Podcast. Check us out at facebook.com/Dome Patrol Podcast. Also, we're on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, so if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, playoff pelican donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
I set my first verse up, similar to a stakeout. The minute that they break out, they send Jake out. But I'm super laxative, and I don't need no practice, kid. You probably wonder what track this is. So carry on with that twisted-ass street rap. I ride for peace, but I will contradict that. And bitch slap any rapper that act like you really want it. I'ma hand him his hat. So act like you want it, but don't get loud. And you haven't seen a style this vivid in a while. I rebel, cause I'm a rebel. My education and rhythm is on a higher level. Smash to the dust,
it's
settle.
It's like that, y'all. So go ahead and get up. This is the future sound.
Without further ado,
yeah. You don't see us, but we see you. Yeah.
Yes, 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 y'all. Mic test, test, y'all. Freestyle lyrics being thrown straight at y'all. And we hype so, and we might just flow from the get-go.
Hey, yo, Soup, let them know. I'm one of the last cats.
Right.
Putting a flavor back in the rap and make your sunroof straight to your cap. Now the original black. Now watch how the herds react. I play the block where I learn to rap. Ain't nothing to it. I keep the wordplay fluid and tone and run through it like the Emperor Jones. I'm the inventor of poems, a Lyrics, outstanding pitch.
What?
Regardless if you're feeling my shit, yo, I say prime.
What?
And plus I'm never outdated in time. I break atoms from the way that I rhyme. Now I created the line with no miscues, fake no moves. So here's the rhyme I couldn't wait to use. I represent and put the pressure on your local event and drop heavy when the vocal commence to hit you with the hits from the colonial prince, the master of the ceremonial. It's like that, y'all.
So go ahead and get up. This is the future sound.
Without further ado,
yeah, you don't see us, but we see you.
Yes, 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 y'all. Mic test, test, y'all. Freestyle lyrics being thrown straight.
straight at y'all. And we hype so, and we might just